any given day, what dictates your mood, your outlook? Is it the circumstances that you find yourself in? Are you able to have inner contentment and joy even when things go wrong? If you answer in the negative, the prophet Jeremiah and you have more in common than you might suspect. You can experience the joy that comes from experiencing God's grace in your life. Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 10. Jeremiah is speaking, "Woe to me, my mother, that you have borne me. As a man of strife and a man of contention to all the land, I have not lent nor have men lent money to me, yet everyone curses me. The Lord said, surely I will set you free for purposes of good. Surely I will cause the enemy to make supplication to you in a time of disaster, in a time of distress. Can anyone smash iron from the north, or bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I will give for booty without cost, even for all your sins and within all your borders. Then I will cause your enemies to bring it into a land you do not know. For a fire has been kindled in my anger. It will burn upon you. You who know, O Lord, remember me. Take notice of me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not, in view of your patience, take me away. Know that for your sake I endured reproach. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the circle of merrymakers, nor did I exult. Because of your hand upon me, I sat alone. For you filled me with indignation. Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? Therefore, thus said the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. Then I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze, and though they fight against you, they will not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent." Jean Campbell found herself, her world shaken to its very foundation on Monday, January 17th, 1994. At 4:31 that morning, a major earthquake rumbled through California and hit her medical billing business. As she worked her way to her building, she was already formulating ways to keep clients apprised of the company's status. Her primary concerns were to keep the revenues flowing for her clients and to be operational in 2 weeks. She knew her employees would need money and she wanted no one to do without a paycheck. Yet as she inspected the facility, she found it a total disaster. She had a no-business business. What was she going to do? Working closely with the tech recovery team, Jean organized, listened, planned, reassured, and motivated employees and contractors to reinstate essential services within 48 hours and full services in 10 days. In short, she accomplished the extraordinary and incredible amid chaos and change. It was for Jean a time of high uncertainty, high risk, and high challenge. Yet in all of this, she moved forward. Her mindset allowed her to. What are you accomplishing in the midst of chaos and change that is around you? Are you moving forward? What is your mindset? As a nation, we're in conflict after conflict, killing after killing, shooting after shooting. Personally, health and other family situations change. Lives are uprooted, plans deferred if not totally scrapped, chaos and change. Economically, there is uncertainty, market surges and market sell-offs, more chaos and change. In your family, relationships, upheaval. Kids grow up and leave, sickness strikes, even death. Hurts upon hurts pile up. Even more chaos and change. What are you accomplishing in the midst of the chaos and change around you? Are you moving forward? How do you move forward? What is your mindset? Even amid chaos and change, trust in God's purposes being worked out in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. You say, this doesn't make sense. Okay, just because your perspective doesn't allow you to see what's going on, trust that God's purposes are being worked out in your life. Jeremiah was down so much that he began to think the unthinkable. It would have been better if I had not been born. It would be better if I wasn't here. But God had called him to be a spokesman. And this is what stemmed or what causes his heart situation. The people wouldn't listen. God, if you called me to do this, why are they this way? They despised Jeremiah for the message he gave. He said, they despise me as if I had loaned or borrowed money. They despised him. He was universally hated by all. And the Lord's answer to him was, I will vindicate you. My purposes will be worked out in your life. And it will be for good, for my purposes will be beneficial for everyone. Even your enemies will come to you for help in times of disaster and distress. Jeremiah had called the people to repentance, and they had refused. Now God's judgment, the iron from the north, was about to fall on them. But even in this, maybe especially in this, God's purposes were being worked out. Georgie Vins, it seems, understood about God's purposes being worked out in his life. The book he wrote could have been written by a free man living in a penthouse overlooking the Black Sea, but it was not. Vins was a pastor of a small Russian Baptist church, finally exiled to America. But the book, Testament from Prison, was written during his 8 long years of imprisonment in a Russian jail. Sleeping on a grimy concrete floor next to an open toilet and subsisting on barley extract, tea, and soup, Vins could have written about prison cruelty, inhumane conditions, or the palpable misery each of them felt. Instead, he wrote a book describing the beauty of Siberian winters, his joy at receiving letters from his wife, his love for Russia, and intimate conversations with God. He understood that God's purposes were being worked out in his life. Do you understand that? That God's purposes are being worked out in your life? Times of chaos and change are the times to preach the gospel to yourself. When everything is happening, when the world seems to be flying apart, preach the gospel to yourself every day. I am a sinner saved by grace. Jesus let go of his rightful place and took on the form of man to die in my place. It is by grace that I have been saved. God is for me. He is not against me. He just wants me to live the way he wants what's best for me. And remind yourself of what all he's done in your life. The Word, the Logos of God, the very essence of God took on the human form of man, lived among man, and submitted himself to the cross to pay the debt that I owed. What's the biggest debt you've ever had in your life? What would it have been like to walk into the bank right when you're going to make that mortgage payment and you owe X amount of money and the teller looks at it and says, excuse me, sir, but somebody's paid that. I'd have a heart attack right there for sure. And that's what Christ has done. So focus on Him. Spend time every day in worship. Remind yourself of how God has worked in your life before. So think about what's going on in your life now. What is God doing in your life? What is He teaching you about Himself and about yourself? Is He teaching you something about what He wants out of your life, how He can use you for His glory? And does not this help you look around troubles instead of fixating on them? Rest in God's purposes being worked out even amid chaos and change. When life finds you amid chaos and change, remember back to God's call on your life. Jeremiah didn't immediately snap out of his despair. He poured his heart out to God. He prayed God would notice him, that God would take out revenge for him on his enemies. And he didn't want it to happen after he was dead. He wanted to be able to see it, to witness it, to gain satisfaction from it. Jeremiah lamented of the social isolation he felt and the pain he felt from that. He didn't go to the parties. He didn't join with the merrymakers. Life was not exciting. He wasn't happy, but he realized that he could find joy back to God's call on his life. At some point, he even accused God of deceiving him. But he reminded himself. He thought back to God's call on his life. And in the remembering, he is reminded of finding joy in God's word. Have you ever been really hungry? I don't mean it's been 2 hours since I eat. I used to say about my kids, they would get up from the kitchen table, us having eaten supper, my wife having cooked a great supper, and they would go look in the cabinets for something to eat. I would say two things about them. Yeah, it's been 30 minutes since they've eaten, and they were born hungry. You were born hungry for the Word of God. Our hearts need to know what God is going to say to us. Jeremiah likened that experience of God's calling as finding that something to eat. And he thought back to those words. And he ate them and devoured them. And there was joy, there was delight in his heart. He had been called by God's name. Arthur Burns, the former chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve System and a former ambassador to West Germany, was a man of considerable importance and power. He was an economic advisor to presidents from Eisenhower to Reagan. When he spoke, people in Washington listened. Burns was also Jewish. So when he began attending an informal White House group for prayer and fellowship in the 1970s, he was afforded special respect. No one else in the group knew quite what to make of his involvement. Each week, different people took turns to end the meeting in prayer, with Burns being passed over out of respect and bewilderment. One week, a newcomer was leading the meeting, and he asked Burns to close in prayer. Some of the others glanced at each other, wondering what would happen. And this is what he prayed. Lord, I pray that you would bring Jews to know Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bring Muslims to know Jesus Christ. Finally, Lord, I pray that you would bring Christians to know Jesus Christ. Amen. That underscores the truth that for a believer, a Christian, one never arrives but is always just a follower of Christ. And that, folks, is the primary calling on your life. To be a follower of Jesus Christ. the call by Him, to Him, and for Him. And folks, that is the source of joy in your life, the fact that Jesus Christ has called you to follow Him. And so think of it this way. That is your vocation. That is what your life is to be about. You're to be about a following Christ the rest of your life. A secondary calling on your life is your occupation. Since God is sovereign, everyone, everywhere, and everything should think, speak, and live entirely for Him. Let me make a plug. If you don't go to the movies, you need to go to this one. Go see Overcomer. Those folks that make that, the Kendrick Brothers and whatever the other names are, they get better and better and better. It's a story about a young lady who's had a very difficult situation growing up, and she's going to run high school track and first one thing and another. And Kendrick is the coach. And so he kind of accidentally goes in to visit this man in a hospital room. And the man asked him about himself. And I don't remember exactly what the question was, but it's basically, tell me about yourself. And he said, well, I'm a coach, I'm a teacher, I'm a this, I'm a that. And the man brought him back to what he should have answered first. I am a follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. The second thing that may be going on in your life, or the secondary calling in your life, is your occupation. God calls some of us as pastors, some as businessmen, some as nurses, some as students, some as moms, some as doctors, some as mechanics. And so even if the second call on your life changes or ends, the first call remains. Follow Jesus. Obedience to God in all these calls is where joy comes from in your life. Some lack joy because of disobedience. Do you have joy even amidst chaos and change? When you find yourself amid chaos and change, learn to live a lifestyle of repentance. In his complaint, Jeremiah accused God of failing him when he needed him. Where were you? Why didn't you do? Jeremiah overstepped the bounds and he needed to repent. His attitude was definitely one of resentment and rebellion. In four times in verse 19, God uses a word with Jeremiah which means to return, to go back to the point of origin. If you return, I will restore you. God was calling Jeremiah and you to repent, to repentance. The people might come back to Jeremiah, but he was not to return to them. Jeremiah was to extract the precious words of God's message from the worthless words of complaint. God would strengthen Jeremiah, make him like a fortified wall to the people. God promised Jeremiah he would save him, that he would set him free, that he would buy him back. Over the years, I've had opportunity to do two kinds of hunting. One is deer hunting. You try to be as quiet as you can. You try to slip quietly into the woods. You find your place that you're going to sit. You try to sit absolutely still. You try to make no noise at all. And if you ever do see a deer and that deer is spooked, he's gone. You're not going to see him again. The second kind of hunting that I've gotten to do was rabbit hunting with a pack of dogs. The times I got to go, I went with people I enjoyed being with, and we would talk as the dogs roamed around the area. We would listen for the dogs barking to change because it would change when they jumped a rabbit. Once that rabbit was jumped, we would go to where the dogs jumped the rabbit. Because you know what Mr. Rabbit would do? He'd run in a big circle and come back to the place. And that shows repentance. In life, keep doubt, complaints, and the chasing after sin short. So return to Jesus. Is God calling you to repentance about something today? You know, part of our problem is that we look at things from a skewed perspective. We look at each other about how we're to live. Well, I'm better than he is, but I'm not quite as good as he is. Kind of like we do height. You've heard me say that before. When the truth of it is we compare ourselves, we measure ourselves against Jesus Christ. Is God calling you to repentance about something today? As one said, we must continually remind ourselves of the purpose of life. We are not destined to happiness nor to health, but to holiness. Today we have far too many desires and interests, and our lives are being consumed and wasted by them. Many of them may be right, noble, and good, and may later be fulfilled, but in the meantime, God must cause their importance to us to decrease. The only thing that truly matters is whether a person will accept the God who will make him holy. At all costs, a person must have the right relationship with God. How much joy do you have in your life? Remember, joy is solid, stable. It is a frame of mind based on the truth of Jesus Christ. Happiness is fleeting and is based on circumstances that are not always what you want or wish they would be. So remind yourself that Jesus, full of grace and truth, is interceding on your behalf in God's presence in heaven for you right now. And remind yourself that he gives us grace upon grace. So repent of anything that he brings conviction about your life, into your life, and worship him, even or especially in the chaos and change of life. Life changes. Sometimes chaos and change is all we know. But even in that, you can experience joy. He is working out his purposes in your life. Do you see that? You say, no, I don't see that at all. Sometimes we don't. But we have to trust that he's doing that. So remember back to his call on your life. First, to follow him. To follow Jesus. Then whatever God has called you to do with your time and energy, even if it changes. And finally, learn to live a lifestyle of repentance. We all need to repent of something in our lives. What is it? How are you handling chaos and change?